Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you put Jesus to the test, you will be the one who ends up failing. Jesus has a way of turning the tables. And so instead of justifying ourselves, as the lawyer we heard about today tried to do, or getting a pat on the back, as we all want, when you put Jesus to the test, you are instead shown just how deep your sin runs and how ugly it is. That's what Jesus does today with this lawyer. This lawyer who puts him to the test. And by lawyer here is not meant a lawyer like we have today. Lawyers like the ones sitting in our congregation, experts in civil law. But an expert in the Mosaic law. In the Old Testament law. In the laws like we heard from Leviticus earlier. A religious lawyer. And this lawyer was a good one. He answers Jesus' question perfectly. What is written in the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Very good, Jesus says, do this and you will live. Jesus doesn't say that by doing this you will earn eternal life. He says, do this and you will be living. Do this, for this is what it means to be living. To be living the life God has given you. Now we should pause here for a moment and not rush on too fast to the story that Jesus tells next. For first of all, how many of us think this way? That loving God and loving your neighbor is living. That it is living the life God has given you? Or do we not start with a whole different view of life? A more self-centered view of life? That this is my life to live how I want. And so, think that loving God and loving others is not my life, but an intrusion into my life. So if I get interrupted, if I have to stop what I'm doing, if I need to go out of my way to help someone, that's getting in the way of my life and my living of it. That's not fulfilling my life, but taking something away from it. If that's how we think, then right off the bat, we have a whole different way of looking at life than God does. But then there's this too. When I do actually help my neighbor, am I loving him as myself? Or even as I do, am I resenting my neighbor for needing my help? Am I bitter toward others for not helping and making me do it? Do I begrudge the expense and inconvenience? And then, does that then corrupt my love for God? By questioning Him and His ways and His love for me and not wanting the life or the people that He's given me to love them and to receive love from them. And so, if that's the case, then we wind up asking, why me, Lord? How long, Lord? Why this, Lord? Why so much, Lord? Now, the lawyer probably wasn't thinking about all that at this point, but he did want to live. He wanted eternal life. But what is that? Is it the life that comes after this life? Or is it this life that we have already here and now that will last forever and into eternity? How you answer that is important too. But for now, the lawyer continues his examination. He knows the law. What about life? How does the law translate to life, Jesus? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells his famous story. But I wonder if this is just a story, or if it hadn't just happened to the lawyer. If he himself hadn't just passed by someone by the side of the road who had been robbed and needed help. What a thunderbolt that would have been if that was the case. Who is my neighbor? You just passed your neighbor. That's what Jesus would have been saying. And don't bother trying to go back and help now. Someone else already has. Yes, someone you Jews look down on and consider a half-breed at best, and someone the world would be better off without at worst. A Samaritan. Someone you don't consider your neighbor. Well, guess what? He stopped. He helped. And he didn't just do the minimum requirement, but even more than that, he had compassion. In fact, he was filled with mercy. So you tell me, Mr. Big Shot Lawyer, putting me to the test, you who knows the law, you tell me. Who lives the law? You? Or this Samaritan? If you put Jesus to the test, you will be the one who ends up failing. The lawyer and us. But now, O Christian, look up and see your good Samaritan. The one who did not pass by you in your need, but came to you as much more than a neighbor, as a Savior. And he's the only one that could. For everyone else in this world is in the same situation as we. For we have all been assaulted by sin, assaulted by death, assaulted by Satan, thrown into the ditch, and not just left for dead, but dead, spiritually. Robbed of the life, of the living, our good and gracious God created for us and created us for. And without a good Samaritan, that would be our end. Buried in the ditch, one giant mass grave for all humanity, eternally dead and eternally dying. But the one who knows life, creates life, is life, and gives life, has come into the ditch of death. And sin, death, and Satan did not spare him, nor did he want to be spared. He had compassion. He was filled with mercy. To do not the least or even the most, but to do all that was required to give us life again, which meant taking our sin upon himself, dying our death, and then rising to life again. That the law we don't live be lived, and the life we don't have be given. That forgiven and raised and credited with all that he is and all that he has, we have life again. So what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You've already done it. You've already done everything you need to do. You lied in the ditch. Dead. Well, that means I didn't do anything. Exactly right. Life is what Jesus does and gives. It is what your good Samaritan did when he stopped for you in the waters of holy baptism, washed you clean of all your sins, and raised you, lifted you up out of the ditch to a new life. It is what your good Samaritan does when he stops here for you in holy absolution, binds your wounds and gives you the oil of gladness and the forgiveness of your sins. It is what your good Samaritan does when he stops here for you and feeds you, putting his body into your mouth and pouring his blood over your lips. And he never gives just once or just a little, but all that you need, and as often as you need. Like with the Samaritan, a supply that never ends. A good Samaritan to make you good again, alive again, living again, with the life he created you to have. So what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, not only have you already done it, lying in the ditch, dead, but you already have it. For as St. Paul said to the Colossians and to us today, he has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, that is the ditch, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, that is to life, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Notice that all the sentences in those verses, all the verbs in those verses, are past tense. Jesus has already done it. He has qualified you. You have been delivered. You have been transferred. You have redemption. The forgiveness of sins. And as the Catechism tells us, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is living. A life to live now and that will last forever. Which answers the question that I asked earlier but never answered. Is eternal life just life that comes after this life? Or is it this life we have already here and now that will last forever and into eternity? It is the life, the living, you've already begun. In Christ, in your good Samaritan. A new life with a new heart. A life not yours, but his. Given to you. Now, do I have to live this life? Well, no. I suppose you can crawl back into the ditch or take a flying leap into it if you want. Crawl back under your rock and try to make the best of it. Many do. You really want to do that? Can you imagine the man in the story doing that? So instead, now the question isn't, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But rather this, how do I live the eternal life, the out-of-the-ditch life that I have been given, that I have already now? That's quite a different perspective. It's quite a different question. And we hear quite a different answer then. When Jesus says, you go and do likewise. That's how. Not because you have to, but because you can. Because you've been mercied. Because you've been enlivened. Because that's living like someone who's been raised from death to life again. Like Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.